Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, we find ourselves on the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. We focus on the Transfiguration today, and it's one of those awesome events in the Bible that tells us something very special and very important about our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's know that the Old Testament scriptures, even though we don't find the name of Jesus there, that part of the Bible is all focusing on Jesus. Jesus himself told us that reality. Let's know that everything really pivots on Jesus. When we have him, we have God's eternal blessings, and when we don't have him, we are in trouble for all eternity. For example, we know from the Bible, we know that God is with us in the person of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. We know that Jesus is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world and so much more. Let's understand how he is the important one. Let's focus on him. Let's rejoice that we know him and have God's blessings through him. Why are all such things so important? Why the big deal about Jesus? Some people don't think much about him at all. Here is why he should be such a big deal to us and to everyone. The Bible teaches that all of us have done wrong. What does that mean? We have all broken God's laws. It's a very serious matter. We've all broken his laws, and that means that we have all condemned ourselves. Sometimes we might not feel that way, and our friends might not tell us that that is true, but according to God's holy word, we have all condemned ourselves, and there's no way for us to fix it. There's no way out. So why is Jesus so important? He is our way out. He is the one and only way out for everyone, so he is so very important. On this day of the Transfiguration, that is when Jesus visibly showed himself to Peter, James, and John that in fact he is truly God of God, light of light, God the Son in human flesh. We're going to look at three forms of proof today to be convinced even in a greater way that Jesus is who he claims to be. First of all, we're going to consider eyewitness testimony. Not secondhand testimony, but eyewitness testimony. Then we're going to consider the very voice of God booming from heaven. And then we're going to consider the scriptures themselves. Now, eyewitness testimony is pretty important, but we're going to say that's good. We're going to say the voice of God from heaven is even better, but we're going to say the holy scriptures are best. So let's consider how that fits in today. And with all such things, may God convince us beyond any doubt that Jesus is our all-sufficient Savior. And that means that knowing him, we are saved. We are forgiven. We are the very children of God. Going back to our text today, we're in 2 Peter chapter 1, picking up in verse 16, the Bible says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty." In other words, we were eyewitnesses of his greatness. Keep in mind that many would have looked to Jesus and thought, oh, he's a nice man, he's a great preacher, he's a miracle worker, but they didn't know about his greatness so. They didn't know that he is the very Son of God. It's important that we know that. Think about Jesus' ministry for a moment. Think about Peter and the other apostles. They were with Jesus during that time of ministry, and they were eyewitnesses to so many amazing things. Let me share a few with you now. For example, when Jesus met a man who could not walk, his legs did not work, what did Jesus do? First of all, he looked at the man and he said, I know what your greatest need is. So he said, son, your sins are forgiven. Even more important than having working legs is to know that our sins are forgiven. Then he healed the man to prove that he could forgive sins. And what happened? The man stood up and he walked away, proving that he had done the miracle. Or think about the one time when Jesus sent the apostles in the boat to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He's there praying, and now he wants to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. How does he get there? There's no boat. It's a simple thing for the Son of God. He simply walked on the water right across to catch up with the boat. He wasn't even planning to catch up with the boat. He was going to walk right by, but an interaction with the apostles caused Peter to walk on the water, Jesus finally to get in, and then they were at the shore. Or think about the time when there was a little girl that was very, very sick. Her father begged Jesus to come and heal her, and in the meantime, the little girl died. And when Jesus heard of it, he said, don't worry, she is just sleeping. In fact, she was physically dead, but for Jesus, though, it is simply sleeping because he can wake up anyone. So he goes to the girl, he takes her by the hand, and life flowed from him into that little girl, and she stood up and she was alive. Those are just a few of the things that the apostles were eyewitnesses of. Think about Jesus' power. Think about his coming. Can you imagine someone telling you about a person who lived, who died, no big deal so far, but then was raised to life, then went to heaven, then is going to come again? That would seem pretty impossible, wouldn't it? But yet, Peter wants his readers to know those things are all true about our Lord Jesus Christ. How can Peter know that? How can his readers know that? Because Peter was an eyewitness of all these amazing things. He was there. He didn't just hear about the transfiguration when Jesus' face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Instead, Peter was there. He saw it with his very own eyes. He was an eyewitness. Therefore, let us know that Jesus is God. Let us know that we are forgiven through him, and let us know that certainly he will come again. So that's only the good. So we have good, better, and best. Let's go on to even the better now. So we come to the voice of God the Father. Picking up in verse 17, our text says, for when he, that is, when Jesus, received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was uttered to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice uttered from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. So in today's gospel reading, that is when Jesus took Peter, James, and John. They went up by themselves onto a high mountain. That is when Jesus shone like the sun. You know how bright the sun is? Think about a sunny day. You can't even begin to look actually at the sun. It is so bright. And then imagine Jesus always looking like an ordinary man, even though he did many miracles, looking like an ordinary man. And now he's shining so bright like the sun, you can't even bear to look at him. It must have been an awesome, awesome thing. So he shone like the sun, and then Moses and Elijah, they appear there with him, and then God the Father spoke from heaven. What did God the Father say? He clearly identified this man, this Jesus, to be his beloved Son. He clearly said that with Jesus, he was well pleased, and he also said something very important. He said that it is important that we should listen to him. Listen to him. That doesn't mean just to hear it, but to listen means to hear it, to take it in, by the grace of God to understand it and believe it and then put it into practice. God wants us to know that such things are very important. Earlier in the sermon, Peter had stated that he saw Jesus' majesty with his very own eyes. Here, Peter is stating that he heard the very voice of God with his very own ears. What can we say about the eyewitness account with the voice from heaven? Both are proof that Jesus is the Son of God in human flesh. Going on to the third part now we come to the best. Good, better, best. So now we come to the prophetic word. So here, we're talking about the Old Testament scriptures. But this is the very word that has come from God. But how is it more than a voice from heaven? It's more than the voice from heaven because it came from God, and now it is written down for our benefit, both now and until the end of time. Notice what it says in verse 19. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention. In other words, to give heed to it, to follow it. As to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So again, here we're talking about the Old Testament scriptures. Some of the New Testament had been written, but not that much at this point. So we're talking here about the Old Testament scriptures. But imagine for a moment being in a very dark place. Maybe you've even been in this situation, maybe on some kind of a cave tour, and the tour guide said, hey, everyone turn off your lights that you have here up on your head. We're going to make it completely dark, and then he lights a single match. What happens when the match is lit? Everyone's attention is drawn to that very small light right away. Peter is talking a little bit in that way here, but he's talking about something much more important than a match in a dark place. As a match draws our attention for a moment, so here Peter wants us to know that the Holy Scriptures should draw our attention and then should keep drawing our attention until finally Jesus comes again. We should never put them aside and say, I know what's in there, I'm all set with that, I don't need to look at those anymore. He wants it to keep drawing our attention like a light in a very dark place. Dr. Kretzmann noted that the Word of God is not truer than Peter's eyewitness testimony or the voice of God. So it's not that one is more true than the other. He goes on to say, but it was more certain so far as the readers were concerned than the doctrine taught by the apostles. In other words, he goes on to say, there was no question that the Old Testament prophecies, thus all the canonical books of the Old Testament, were God's word. So it's not that the eyewitness account, the voice from God coming from heaven, the scriptures, it's not that one is more true than the other, but the Old Testament scriptures are very established. They're very much written down. And Peter was trying to help his readers understand that what he saw with his very own eyes, what he heard with his very own ears, are in full agreement with the written scriptures. They all agree together. There's no conflict at all. And then finally, coming to the end here, regarding the prophetic word, Peter wanted the people to know that word is from God. Notice what it says, picking up in verse 20. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, or we could say from someone's own explanation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. In other words, no prophecy originated with a man. Now, it came through a man, but it didn't originate with a man. But then he finally says, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. I think many people today here in the 21st century, they want to say the Bible is from men. oh yeah, this book was just written down by men. It has all kinds of errors in it. It's not reliable. Why would people say that? Because they want to be able to ignore it with a clear conscience. If it's from men, if it's full of errors, it's not that important. We don't need to listen to it. But if it really is from God, from the Almighty God who created the heavens and the earth, who loves us with an everlasting love, who sent his Son to be our Savior, who is going to either welcome people to be with him forever or send them away forever, then it makes that word much more important. God wants us to know that none of the Bible originated with a man, but the Bible is God's word. How is that so? It told us in that passage that what we have here came right from God the Father, and then the Holy Spirit took that word from God the Father, and he got a hold of certain men, and he moved them to write down the very words of God the Father. So it comes from the Father, through the Holy Spirit, through these men who wrote it down, to us, to all of the readers. So we shouldn't doubt what the Bible says. We should know it is the Word of God. It is from God himself, and the Holy Spirit was involved in the process to make sure we received the right information. In conclusion today, let's remember that for all of us, for every one of us, our problem is sin. Let's also know that no matter who we are, no matter what we do, we can't fix it. So we all need the Son of God to save us. Today we heard about the eyewitness account of Peter. That's good. We heard about the voice of God speaking from heaven. That's even better. And we also heard about the certainty of the Holy Scriptures. That is best. What can we say about all three of them? They all agree that Jesus Christ, he truly is the Son of God in human flesh. He is the very one that we need. He is the all-sufficient Savior. He came to take away the sin of the world. We know he has done his finished work. And let us know now that through the relationship that God has given us with him, let us know, let us rejoice. We are forgiven. We are God's holy children in Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we pray that you would impress upon us that good is never good enough. Then, being aware of our great need for Jesus, may you keep us ever trusting in him as our all-sufficient Savior. In Jesus' holy, precious name, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.